Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff. With real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hello, everyone. It's me, Jen. So get excited. Jess is coming back next week. So on Tuesday, it'll be the both of us and you won't be subjected to me all alone. Well, it wasn't just me. It was some fabulous guest co-hosts we've had this month. And I'm so thankful to them. So today's episode is one of our interview episodes and we have Dr. Maria Vasquez. Before I get into who she is, I have some very exciting news. Okay, so today is Thursday, March 4th. You might be listening later, in which case, still listen to this announcement because you can still be involved. But tonight, as in Thursday, March 4th at 8 p.m., we're having a silk pajama party online at newness.com and you're invited. And it's totally free. Okay, so Newness is the new live streaming platform for the beauty community. And we're going to be hanging out with our friend and former Fat Mascara guest, Daniel Martin. He's Tatcha's global directory of artistry and education. And you probably know who he is because we talk about him all the time. He's the makeup artist who did Jess's wedding makeup. You know, and Meghan Markle's, and like the makeup of a million other celebrities. But whatever, we'll talk about what's important. So you can sign up for Newness at newness.com. It's totally free. It takes just a few seconds. Then log on tonight at 8 p.m. Again, it's Thursday, March 4th. We'll be hanging out with Daniel Martin in celebration of Tatcha's newest product, which is a silk powder. Listen, if you can't make it tonight, or you're listening to this episode over the weekend, or next week, or months from now, Newness records all of their live streaming so you can listen to it later. You won't be able to chat with us and have the whole streaming experience, but you'll still be able to see the hang and get some tips from Daniel and just have fun with us. So we hope you'll join us. And now on to the show. So I have been wanting to do this episode for a while. We're calling it Ask a Gynecologist, and we source most of the questions from all of you in the Fat Mascara fam. And our expert is Dr. Manuela Vasquez. She's a physician based in Torrance, California, and specializes in obstetrics and gynecology. Earlier this year, she created La Maria. It's a line of wellness products for women over 30 who are experiencing hormonal changes. So the hero product is a feminine moisturizer called Carioca. And Dr. Vasquez created it because 50% of women over the age of 50 complain of vaginal dryness. And she wanted to recommend a product to her patients. She wasn't really happy with what's out there. I should preface this whole thing by saying, yes, we will be saying vagina and vulva a lot. So if you're listening with family or young ones and they're not ready to have this whole conversation, just be forewarned. So in the conversation, we talk about all of your gynecological questions. We source them from you, like I said, how hormone changes affect your skin, what's normal when it comes to the appearance of your vulva. And we touch on some hormonal conditions that may affect your health and appearance as well. By no means am I saying this is the end-all, be-all conversation on women's health. Honestly, we could probably do 10 more episodes and still never get to all of the questions that are out there. But we do touch on some important topics, and I think it's a start, and I really hope you find it as helpful and informative as I did. And so, let's talk to Dr. Vasquez. Welcome, welcome to Fat Mascara. This is a super special episode. We've done this in the past where we have like ask the expert. We've done it with a pharmacist, a dermatologist. By much demand, and because you're really helpful and decided to agree to it, you're going to be our Ask a Gynecologist. But you're also, you're an OBGYN, correct? You're like,
I do.
Are all gynecologists do obstetrics as well?
No, you know, we all train in both obstetrics and gynecology, and then some people decide to just stick to gynecology or just do obstetrics. But I think the majority of people do both.
Okay. Cool. And you're the founder of La Maria, which I think will come up when we're talking about our hygiene and appearance section. So what I'm just going to let you know what we did here. We asked our listeners questions they wanted to ask their gynecologist. Either they never had time to, they were too embarrassed to, and I've sort of sorted them into sections. And I feel like before we even get into that, the basic question that a lot of people have is like, if you're having a checkup with your gynecologist, like how much are you allowed to ask them? Like, what's the longest you've been in there with a patient? Like, and what point do wear your patience thin?
So the longest I've probably been in with a patient is an hour, but that's a rarity. I think for an annual exam, if it's your first time coming in, it's probably a 30-minute visit. I mean, you have a lot to cover. You know, you're just getting to know the physician. The physician's just getting to know you. You need to go over your past medical history, your past surgeries, your medications, your gynecological history, your OB history, your sexual history. That all takes quite a bit of time. And then, of course, you're there to answer people's questions. And I think for the most part, the time allotted is enough. But, you know, you should never feel rushed. You should never feel like your answers have gone, your questions have gone unanswered. So I don't know. I think most physicians nowadays, we all have email. We all have nurses that are very receptive. And so if you at all felt like, you know, you even walked out and there was a question that you didn't get to ask, feel free to email. You know, that's what we're there for. I think our goal is to make you feel like it was a good experience and you got all of your questions and body parts covered that needed to be covered. So don't ever feel rushed. And then if it's, you know, if you've been coming in annually and you know the physician and she or he knows you, then it's a 20-minute visit where, you know, you're just catching up, making sure things are still great or not great. And addressing whatever concerns you have that year.
You know what I was thinking about looking at these questions? You probably get similar questions over and over again. Having listened to patients for years now, what's like a myth, a question that you get the same question? You're like, this is a myth and I need to dispel it. And this was actually one of our listeners' questions as well. What's like a myth circulating that you'd like to dispel?
I think more than myth, the most common question I get is my vulva, does it look normal? Does my vagina look normal? Does it smell normal? Is my discharge normal? And 99.5% of the time, all of it is normal. That doesn't mean that it looks exactly the same as the girl that came before you or will look the same as the girl that came after you. There is no gold standard of what is the perfect vagina and vulva that we're comparing to. We are all essentially normal in our own ways. And I think more so the question about the odor, where, you know, we all have an odor. We all kind of know our odor. And we notice when, you know, oh, we had a workout and took a little while to take a shower, you notice some changes and we know kind of our norm. And so it's all completely normal. And I think it's funny, you know, I have patients who come in complaining, they're there just to discuss their odor. And I am right up there, you know, a year ago, I wasn't wearing a mask and I'm doing the pelvic exam. And I say, I promise you, I smell nothing. And they say, I swear it smells terrible. And, you know, some of that is your I think own personal what you're concerned about, but the majority of the time, 99% of the time, it is normal. Not to say that, you know, if you're having a fishy odor or if it smells sour or if it just doesn't smell right for you and you just know this isn't how I usually smell, then you do come in and, you know, we'll check it out. But the majority of the time, all of it is totally normal.
I will tell you, I want to say 50% of the questions started with, is it normal too? ... So it's good to hear. And also to hear, is it normal for you? Like to think, like, you know what your everyday is like. If it's abnormal for like your everyday, that's a good indicator.
Yes. I would guess.
Like a visual cue of something or a smell cue or whatever. Somebody also asked, what's the most frequent piece of advice you give patients? Is it that they're normal?
I mean, yeah. And just, you know, accept it. Cause that's you. And that's what makes you unique and special and different and, you know, different from the next girl. So yeah, I think we are so hard on ourselves and we're so quick to judge ourselves. And I think that that's one thing that, especially us as women, we are so hard on ourselves. And so I would like every patient to walk away feeling, oh, you know, I think more than anything, I want them to walk away feeling like they have an extra little pep in their step. Like everything I heard sounds good. And if it's not good, we will find a treatment plan. There is a treatment plan. We have a plan in general. So even the things that, you know, if you find out something isn't normal, you should walk away feeling like I am in control of my health and this is what we're going to do.
Yeah. So on that note of wanting people to feel good when they leave your office, I know you make products for vulval and vaginal health. And we had a lot of questions start about appearance, but also about hygiene. So can you tell me, someone asked, just a general feminine hygiene question for cleaning your vulva and or vagina, what is acceptable and what's not?
So less is more. If your vulva and your vagina are great and you don't have any complaints, leave it alone. Don't do anything to beautify it. Don't douche. Don't use feminine wipes. I mean, let's say, you know, you work out and you just want to clean off. I mean, that's fine. Make sure it's pH balanced. But we really recommend that you stay away from any kind of feminine hygiene, like cleansers, like mists or anything that has fragrance in it or harsh soaps. So really the only thing you really need is just lukewarm water. When you shower, let the soap that you use to wash your body kind of just run over the area and that's good. And definitely you don't need anything inside.
Okay. And so inside, I hope most people, actually I shouldn't hope, but like the vagina is the inside,
correct.
The vulva is the outside.
Yes.
It's funny you mentioned pH because we had a very specific question about this. A listener asked, meanwhile, I've taken all their names out because I didn't, just to be safe, I'm not sure if they were ready to like commit to that being the person who asked the question. So
I love that they were willing to even put their name out there. So that's amazing.
Yeah. She said, I've seen lots of companies that use vaginal pH as a marketing term for things like lubricants or cleansers. Why does that matter? And how much does it matter? Like, is it marketing or is that actually important?
No, it is actually very, very important. For outside products, not so much, because the important part is inside the vagina where the pH, we all have acidic vaginas. So the pH is usually between like 3.8 to 4.5.
Okay.
And I like to think of our vaginas as a garden of flowers, right? So you have some roses, you have some daisies, you have some tulips, and they all live happily in their own little beds. And when they're happily placed, your pH is perfect. If you, let's say, have a yeast infection or some other kind of infection.
Were these flowers our happy bacteria or what is this?
Our flowers are our...
I was like, flowers is pushing it there with the odor and the like visual, but okay.
Flowers are our happy, each flower is its own little bacteria.
Okay, got it.
All the good bacteria that you need in your vagina to keep it balanced, essentially. The vaginal ecosystem stays balanced with all these little bacteria. And if... you know, you introduce something that throws off the pH, essentially you're changing the balance of all those little flowers. So the roses will overgrow the daisies and then, you know, you'll have weeds over by the tulips and it essentially throws off your garden and it's hard to bring it back to that normal pH of, you know, that acidic pH of 4.5. So when they say, you know, this lubricant is pH balanced, that's great. You want it to be pH balanced to the vagina so it doesn't throw off your little garden and so it doesn't throw off the good bacteria in your vagina.
So that matters if it's a product that could end up inside of your vagina.
Right.
So with like cleansers, is the reason that someone might say it's pH balanced because there's a chance some of it could get inside?
Just in case, but you really shouldn't be putting anything inside of it.
That's why I'm asking, because like you said earlier.
But it's an added bonus. Yes, I definitely would. If you are going to use a cleanser for whatever reason, I would say use a pH balanced one so that it's not an irritant. You want things that are non-irritant to the vagina and the vulva.
Okay, that makes sense. Then we had a couple questions about visuals. One of them was, is it normal to have freckles or spots pop up around the clitoris or labia? I guess she's talking about the vulva in general. But the pop-up was interesting to me, like meaning like it wasn't always there. So is that normal to get spots there?
So it is.
You do on your face?
It is. And they're usually normal. Sometimes they might be a little cyst as opposed to like a mole or a freckle. But those things, just like when you go to the dermatologist to get all your moles checked, you should be getting all of your moles all over your body, including on your vulva, always checked every year to make sure they're not changing.
So it could just be a freckle, really, or a mole.
It could, but it's something that needs to be looked at yearly.
And do you, when you're doing your exams, if you see something that dermatologically, like it's not an STI and it's not anything else, like will you refer them for that reason?
If it looks normal, I won't. I'll just document in the chart that, you know, patient has a new mole.
Freckle.
We call it a nevus.
Okay.
I'll mark it on the chart and then just remember to look at it again next year. And of course, tell her to come in beforehand if she notices if it changes, like the borders or the color, or if it starts to bleed or changes.
I love these questions. This is good. Be honest. So of course you're going to be honest. I mean, you're being honest with all of your answers, but this one started with, be honest. Do you judge people's hair removal or grooming choices?
So I hope that every patient that comes into her gynecologist office does not feel judged at all. And I can tell you with such honesty, there is absolutely no judgment, to the point where a year ago, I was at the grocery store, at my local grocery store, and I was in an aisle and this patient saw me and I recognized her, and you know, I didn't want to say anything because I didn't want to embarrass her. And I was checking out and she came up and she said, Dr. Vasquez, I just wanted to say hi, but I was so embarrassed. And I said, why? You're my neighbor. We live in the same community. We shop at the same store. And she was like, because you've seen my vagina. And I felt like saying to her, I saw 20 other vaginas today. I could not tell you which one was yours compared to someone else's. So that kind of stuff. I mean, women have so many different grooming patterns that they... No judgment whatsoever.
Okay. Well, the next person asked, what percentage of people remove the hair from their vulva? Which is also interesting to me because she's not talking about like the mons or the pubic hair, like a bikini line. She's talking about like the underneath kind of vulva part.
So that's an interesting question because, you know, we don't have data on that kind of information. You know, we don't take statistics on hair patterns. But I can definitely tell you that it changes with the trends, I think, in society, you know. Like 5 years ago, I felt like I wasn't seeing anybody. Nobody had any hair anywhere. And now there's this kind of, I think, rebirth of, you know, letting things be as nature intended. I do think that still about 80% of women, I would say, still groom in some capacity. But definitely, I think the trends are changing.
So you said you see like 20 women a day. So 16 of them take the hair off their vulva.
No, they groom. So whether they...
Just in general.
In general,
okay,
yeah,
underneath.
They do something. Okay, they do something.
Okay, got it.
But maybe I would say 40 to 50%. I think it depends on what kind of day it is. If it's, you know, a younger day where I'm seeing, you know, younger patients, or it really depends on, I think, the demographic and...
Are you saying the younger patients tend to remove their hair?
Yes, but you know, I'm seeing a lot of older women who have now started to remove their hair. You know, I think because laser is much more popular now, a lot of women, I just had a patient the other day who, she said, I want to make sure to get all my hair lasered off before it turns gray, because, you know, the gray hairs don't laser as well. And so she was apologizing for like the patches of hair that she had. And that's what I think is funny, is women come in and they apologize for, oh, you know, I'm sorry I didn't have time to shave, or I'm sorry I'm on my period. It's like, what are you talking about? That's what I'm here for. You know, it's not a good day if you're not having your period. So I think that the trends are definitely changing as far as hair patterns go.
Yeah, the last question I had just about visuals that seemed like in the group of questions we got was, Is it normal for the skin? See what I told you? All of them are starting. Is it normal? Is it normal for the skin to be much darker than the other skin on your body? I'm assuming this person means the skin of your vulva.
Yeah, of your labia. Yeah, of your labia. Yes, of your labia. Yeah, so when we enter puberty and we have this increased fluctuation of estrogen, the estrogen makes your vulva much darker. And this is more so for women who are of darker skin in general. And then when you go through closer to menopause, the skin will change again. The color will usually get a little bit paler because you're lacking that estrogen and the blood flow and the blood supply to your vulva. So it does become a little bit more pale.
Interesting. So I know your company, it says it's, you said it's focused on women who are over 30 and like, because that's when estrogen starts to diminish in your body. What are some of the other things that happen when estrogen goes down besides the one that you just mentioned?
Like So usually.
Because I never heard that your vagina gets lighter because of less estrogen. That's very interesting.
Yes. Around your, you know, mid 40s to 50s, it'll start to get lighter. So with the decline of estrogen, that's essentially that's leading up to menopause. So with perimenopause, which is when our hormones, you know, you really start to feel the decline, you can have symptoms like hot flashes. These are all due to decreasing levels of estrogen. So hot flashes, accelerated bone loss, sleep disturbances, mood swings, vaginal dryness, just overall skin dryness. Women tend to gain more weight around their central part, like around their bellies.
You mentioned the dryness because I want to ask about that. We did have a question from someone and she said, is coconut oil okay?
So it is.
Are we talking, first of all, when you say dryness, do you mean vaginal, like interior, or do you mean like the skin outside?
Both. She might be talking about so one or
just
both.
Like your face skin gets drier.
Exactly. Exactly. It's just like your vagina and your vulva are just like every other part of your body. It's so underestimated how important estrogen is. And it's important for every organ system that we have, including the skin. We have millions of receptors, estrogen receptors, all throughout our bodies, especially on our face. And our vaginas and vulvas are extremely estrogen rich. And so we feel that the decline in hydration in both those areas.
What can we do about it? Nobody asked that. That's me asking.
You can do something like a feminine moisturizer. You can, which is basically an...
But that's for the outside?
Or for the inside, for either one. Either one.
And how do you know which is which? Like what's okay to go in and what's not?
So it usually tells you. So there's some gels that are FDA approved. So for something to go inside your vagina, it needs to be FDA approved because it's considered a medical device. So the feminine moisturizers that go inside, those are FDA approved for your vagina. And then there are vulvar moisturizers, which are for the labia on the outside.
I get confused about this because of like lubricants. It's interesting to me, like, I mean, just a person who has had sex, like a lubricant's going to get inside your vagina if you're using it during it. But some of them they say like, do not put inside your vagina just for the outside. Like how can they put that with the sex stuff in a sex shop and not expect it to get inside of you?
No, of course, of course. So most of those are FDA cleared. Yeah. Because of that, because they know that it will go inside the vagina. And the difference between a lubricant and a feminine moisturizer is that a lubricant is meant to essentially be used just for intercourse. So you would put it on when you're about to have intercourse or having intercourse and feel like you need a little more hydration in the moment. A feminine moisturizer is for women who suffer from chronic vaginal dryness. So about 20% of women between the ages of 18 to 50 have complained of vaginal dryness at some point in their life, whether it's from...
And they feel a symptom regardless of if you're trying to have sex, that could be uncomfortable.
Yeah, like every day, walking around, you know, just sitting here. Yes, they feel it's for women who really suffer from chronic, it can be miserable. They feel irritated, it itches, it might feel just like a burning sensation. I had a patient describe it as she felt like it was like two pieces of sandpaper rubbing up against each other when she walked. I mean, that is a chronic symptom every day.
And so that's when you would choose a feminine
moisturizer. Exactly. Because it's supposed to be a long-lasting moisturizer.
Okay, got it. And that's sort of like the products that your company makes, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's really clears up a lot. Thank you. I want to move on to more skin questions. We got a lot, actually, that not just about like the skin down there, but your facial skin as well. For example, this one was, does birth control make your skin more susceptible to sun damage?
So the great thing, I think, the great thing about birth control pills is that we have a million of pills on the market. And the most common side effects of birth control pills are that you might have bleeding in between your periods. You'll hear that more so than anything else. But everyone reacts differently to the estrogen and the progesterone in a birth control pill. So not everyone will have higher sensitivity to sun, but definitely estrogen itself can lead to something called melasma, where it's basically dark spots that are due to the sun exposure. And it's usually, we see it on the forehead and, you know, above the lip. And we see this also in pregnancy when your estrogen levels are high. So yes, there are some women who may be extra sensitive to the hormones in their birth control pill, and it causes skin sensitivity. But I would never tell a patient, oh, you know, don't get on birth control because of you might be more sensitive to the sun.
Okay, if we're talking about birth control pills, this is another person that literally started, be honest. Which pills are most likely to cause weight gain? Be honest.
So honestly, the studies don't, this is, I think, interesting, but the studies don't show that birth control pills lead to increased weight gain. But I can tell you anecdotally, the number of times that I hear this is at least 2 or 3 times a day. And definitely with progesterone-only hormonal therapy, so like the Depo-Provera injection, those women mm-hmm. do, the studies aren't as strong, but there are studies that do show that you do have an increase in weight gain with the Depo-Provera. And it's usually women who have a hard time already with weight that they do tend to gain more weight. And also the reality is that as we age, you know, the longer you're on the birth control pill and as we age, we all tend to gain a little bit of weight. And so it's hard to really distinguish, is that from the birth control pill or is that just life going on?
Yeah, like if you switch your pills and now you're 30, not 20.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe it was
or
just
you
life.
Stopped, you know, you stopped taking your pill to get pregnant and now you're post, you know, you've had all your babies and you're back on the birth control pill and now you're gained weight. And, you know, it's just because you're a little bit older.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Okay, everyone, I am one of those people who, when it comes to wellness, sorry, but it's got to fit into the pockets of my day. 5 minutes here, 7 minutes there, when I'm like in the kitchen and I'm microwaving something long, it's got to be convenient. And that is why Alo Moves
works for me. My mindset has changed. The app makes it easy for me to keep my wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place and bite-sized little bits. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, self-care tips, healthy recipes, so much more. From beginner to advanced, Alo Moves has the flow or class that's going to fit into your schedule. Their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour, depending on what you're feeling that day.
You know what feeling I'm feeling most days? I'm feeling 10 minutes. I've been doing Joanna Thompson's, right? That's about it.
Yeah, that's good.
10 minutes. Joanna Thompson does these yoga lattes in 10. One day will be abs, one day will be arms. Today, Jess, is booty day, and we're just going to get it done all in 10 minutes. If you're trying to get a good sweat, then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like the sweat-inducing yoga flows or the reformer Pilates workouts without weights. You can also find stress relief with meditations, affirmations, face yoga, gua sha, learn to do dry brushing. How many times have we talked about dry brushing on this podcast? Alo Moves will teach you how to do it.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Alo Moves. Go to alomoves.com now and use the code MASCARA20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership. That's alomoves.com, code MASCARA20. alomoves.com, code MASCARA20.
Another question that came up with regards to the pill was about acne. So somebody said, I had cystic acne, which cleared up immediately once I was on the pill. Will it come back if I stop taking the pill?
It may. It may, in the sense that, you know, a lot of acne is due to a progesterone effect and also due to high androgen levels, so high testosterone levels, for example. And a lot of cystic acne is really hormonal acne. So the birth control pill is probably stabilizing her hormones and decreasing her androgen hormones, the testosterone levels, essentially. And if she gets off the pill, I think it's, you know, you could try it out and see what happens, but it's possible that it might come back.
Yeah, it's not like it was like a cure. It was changing your levels. And when your levels returned to what they were, I hope it doesn't for that listener.
Yeah,
if that's their plan.
But our hormones are constantly changing, constantly. So. Yeah. You never know. You might, you know, she might have been on this pill for, you know, 5 years and then stopped and her skin, it looks great because her hormones have now, as she aged, they've now stabilized. So I think it's worth a try. And if it doesn't work, go back on the pill if you can.
Another question we got about birth control was, can my birth control, and I'm assuming they're meaning one that affects your hormone levels here, not like a condom, make me bruise more easily? Have you ever heard that?
You know, the only thing that I can think of for that is the next there's an implant that we can put in your arm, and the placement of that implant can definitely cause a lot of bruising in the arm. But birth control in general doesn't usually cause bruising. It's not one of the more common side effects.
So that would be something, if someone's bruising more easily, they should talk to their doctor.
Yeah, I would.
Like, don't just assume that.
Yeah. And I think, you know, for everything, I'm giving it kind of an overall, I think that this is not clearly your annual exam right here, this podcast. You know, you need to go talk to your doctor to make sure that
yes.
you...
Good yes, good disclaimer. Thank you.
To make sure that, you know, everyone is different and everyone has specifics to their medical history and what medications they're on and all things that really, you know, that's why you don't go to your doctor as a group. You go one-on-one because everyone is different.
Yeah.
So, I would check in with your doctor if you are bruising.
Here's another skin question, which I hadn't heard, but maybe you have. Can having more sex make your skin clearer?
I love that. So there are no studies that prove that having more sex will make your skin clearer. But I think there is, you can kind of extrapolate that if you're having more sex and you're happy and you're loving your life and you're loving your partner and you're loving your intercourse and loving the whole thing, that probably is helping your overall stress levels, which has to, you know, stress increases cortisol levels. And so I think probably the overall happiness is what's leading to your good skin. So go for it. Keep going.
Does having sex lower your cortisol levels?
Well, stress. I'm saying, you know, if you're...
Right, no, but I'm saying if you are stressed, does having sex bring down cortisol levels?
It's an interesting question. If it's decreasing your stress levels, then I don't know if it, I'll be honest, I don't know if it brings down your cortisol levels.
Okay.
I don't know.
Sex, mood-wise, yes, let's say.
Yes.
you'd be happier. Okay, that makes sense to me. Another thing that comes up a lot that people ask about with regards to their skin is PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome. Yeah. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. Okay. So we get a lot of questions about this because I know it has some effects on your looks, on your hair, on your skin, acne. What's going on there and why can that cause problems with your skin? And how do you know if you have PCOS?
PCOS is so difficult. It's a hard diagnosis to really pinpoint. Essentially, it's a problem. It's an ovulatory dysfunction. So you're not ovulating on a regular basis. And it's also women who have PCOS, they have spaced out periods where they'll go many months without a period and then they'll have like a very light period or then they'll go many months and have an incredibly heavy period. So it's basically a disconnect in your hormones. And these women also tend to have higher testosterone levels, which can lead to this terrible acne that is hard to control with other medications. And it's really, you know, almost incredibly painful acne. And it also, women with PCOS tend to have what we call hirsutism, where they have excess hair, more of like a male pattern hair, where they might have it on their faces, you know, along their, but it's like very thick and coarse. It's a much coarser hair, like men, where they have it on their abdomens, on their bellies, or on the insides of their legs. And, you know, we kind of, it's a diagnosis of putting a few pieces of a puzzle together. And, you know, if you do have PCOS, it can lead to things like you might have some issues getting pregnant. You're at higher risk for diabetes and high blood pressure and obesity. And so it definitely is a tough syndrome to have. And, you know, luckily, you know, a lot of these women have problems with obesity. So if you can even just decrease your weight by 5%, it's extremely helpful to, you know, get your periods on track. And
I've heard from dermatologists that they're the one that ended up diagnosing or helping the person get diagnosed with PCOS because they didn't have abnormal periods, but they had some of those skin and hair issues that you were talking about. Have you ever heard of that?
Yes, I have many times. PCOS can sometimes take a while to diagnose. It can take a while because it's not easy. It's not straightforward always.
So we got a lot of questions about PCOS, but how prevalent is it really?
You know, it's probably around 10%, give or take a few percentage points. But I actually feel like we hear it. We hear and are diagnosing PCOS patients all the time. So it feels like it's more, but the studies I think show about that percentage, 10%.
That's good to know. And also good for people who have any of the symptoms that you just talked about and might not know where they're coming from. Okay, let me just see where we are with our questions. We have a couple more. Oh, that had to do with aging, which I think is interesting because they were talking about hormone replacement therapy. When can someone start thinking about hormone replacement therapy? Which my thought was like, am I supposed to be thinking about hormone replacement therapy? This is good. I'm getting advice too. Well, I just love that they assumed that you are supposed to be thinking about it.
No,
you know, I didn't.
You need to know your options. Yeah.
Okay.
You
so,
should.
What is it, and when should you be thinking about it?
So, hormone replacement therapy is usually something that is more for women who have gone through menopause. And the average woman in the United States goes through menopause at the age of 51. And usually, we give hormone replacement therapy if you have symptoms associated that are bothersome. That are associated with menopause. So if you feel great and you're doing fine and, you know, you didn't even realize that you went through menopause, that's how good you feel, then it's not something for you. But if, you know, if you're really suffering and it's impacting your quality of life, things like hot flashes or the vaginal dryness or the mood swings and, you know, a combination of all of the symptoms that go along with menopause, then I would say, you know, you should really consider hormone replacement therapy if you're a candidate for it, because it does have the most robust scientific evidence behind it. And it is so efficacious. So
is it pills or shots?
So
or?
There are lots of different options. You can do patches, okay. You can do oral, you can do sprays. So there are lots of options for hormone replacement therapy. But having said that, you know, perimenopause is the time period leading up to menopause where your hormones start to decline and they really fluctuate. And it's usually about 1 to 5 years prior to menopause. And some women suffer for up to 10 years prior to menopause. And at that point, you start to notice that your periods start to space out. And, you know, there's sometimes you might have, you go 3 months without a period and then you have an incredibly heavy period, or you'll bleed twice in a month and you feel like you're bleeding all the time. And so for that, those kind of symptoms, we do give hormones to kind of regulate you as you're going through this fluctuation, because perimenopause is so unpredictable. And I think sometimes the how unpredictable it is can be really distressing for patients, because they don't know when they're going to bleed. You know, they've had all these normal periods, and then up all to all of a sudden they start to have all these abnormal periods, and then they're starting to have hot flashes, and they don't really know what's going on. So it is a nice transition, hormones into menopause, and then you can consider hormone replacement therapy if the symptoms continue.
I don't know if this next person's going to like that answer, because their question was, can it help with wrinkles? Like, I'm assuming they don't really have any of the symptoms of menopause or perimenopause that you were just talking about. They just don't want to have wrinkles.
So we do.
Is that, and I've heard that actually being like, you know, writing about beauty, like some people are like, HRT, actually we had a guest once and she was just like, it's great for your skin.
It is. But it's not meant for that. That is not the indication for hormone replacement therapy. And why it's so great is because our skin, like I said, is so dependent on estrogen. And so once our skin gets depleted of the estrogen, you know, we need estrogen to produce collagen, to produce hyaluronic acid, to produce elastin, all those things that keep your skin, you know, hydrated and supple and dewy. And so as our estrogen levels decline, our ability to produce those important compounds or molecules, you know, diminishes. And so that's why when you do take hormone replacement therapy, it's kind of helping the lack of the collagen and the hyaluronic acid and the elastin. All of that is kind of, you're replacing it with the hormone replacement therapy. You're essentially replacing your estrogen.
Wait, this is making me think that like all of these celebrities I see over 50 have HRT.
I wouldn't be,
their skin looks like not through, well, that it's might been be, through menopause.
That might be well, Botox that and something else.
Exactly.
I mean, I would hope to think that they got on the hormone replacement therapy because they were having menopausal symptoms. And then they got the added benefit of the beautiful aspects of, you know, having hormones, having your estrogen replaced.
Yeah. Somebody asked, are there ways to balance hormones naturally that will help wrinkles? So I'm assuming they mean like internally, like you're not going to go on hormone replacement therapy. Maybe your estrogen is going down. You're at that point in your life. Is there anything supplementally that could help with that?
You know, unfortunately, there's no way to reverse time and nature, and there's no way to, you know, bump up our hormone levels.
Like if we ate a ton of soy, like that's not going to like all of a sudden give us like estrogen back to where we were.
No, unfortunately, no.
She's shaking her head at me like that. But you know, when people hear about like, oh, there's a phytoestrogens and things.
Well, so that's what my product line includes is those estrogen mimicking compounds that are plant-based. And so I have a facial moisturizer that basically uses the phytoestrogens to help support those estrogen receptors that are depleted. So it's not estrogen.
So topically, you could be doing some benefits.
Yes.
And so is that an ingredient, phytoestrogens, that people should look for in a topical product is it for moisture? Is it for wrinkles? Bit of both?
Well, so you need estrogen. I mean, so we've seen that as your estrogen levels decline, you're more likely to have fine lines and wrinkles, and your skin's going to get thin and get dry. And so if you can supplement, you know, those estrogen receptors that aren't capable of helping support the collagen production, then yeah, go for it.
And by supplement, you mean supplement topically.
Yes,
I don't want to confuse people with like, because you know, when you take an oral supplement,
that word. Yeah, yeah.
No, it means you're just giving them a little like sidekick, like a little boost.
A little extra pep in your step.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Okay, I think we got to most of our questions. I did not prepare you for this, but we do this with every guest. It's like an easy speed round about you to get to know you a little bit better. Because I know this wasn't about you, but I mean, it is. You're a gynecologist and I want to know who you are. Can I ask you the Fat Mascara 5?
Yeah.
Okay, the first question from our Fat Mascara 5. What beauty product do you remember falling in love with first? Like the first product you ever tried and really liked?
You know, I just got into beauty products probably in the last 10 years. It was probably, I've never even used beauty products up until 10 years ago. So I would probably say, I think I started with like a vitamin C serum. That was where I started.
Okay. That speaks to the age that you started and the fact that you're a doctor. You went all in. I like it. What quality do you admire most in other people?
Honesty.
Good one. If there was one rule you wish everybody would follow, what would it be?
Wear a mask.
Oh, I have not heard that yet, and that's an excellent answer. Okay, if there was a movie made of your life, who would narrate it?
I would like my mother to narrate it.
Excellent. And last one, what's the most played song on your playlist right now? Just be honest. Don't name a cool song.
Like, no. I'm like trying to think between my kids, like Dora, and my own music.
We've had the Wiggles as an answer. Okay, so.
I think we've been listening to The Weeknd because of the Super Bowl. So a lot of The Weeknd.
Oh, that makes sense. See, there you go. Was it so hard,
right.
Was it?
You're right.
I mean, compared to the questions you get from patients, I feel like that was fun. Okay. That was so informative. I hope you guys enjoyed Dr. Vasquez as much as I did and learned a lot. It is now time to raise a wand. So you know the deal. I want to hear more raise a wands. My voicemail is not full. I need to fill up this voicemail inbox, guys. Give me a call, 646-481-8182. Leave a little message with the product that you love, why you love it, and your voice can be featured on Fat Mascara. You can also email us a voice memo if that's easier. It actually sounds better. And the email is info@fatmascara.com. Okay, time to raise a wand. Let me just pull this up, this product. Okay, so I heard about this product from Kirby Johnson over at Los Angeles Podcast. I don't know if you heard our joint episodes that we did together, but when we were talking, she was all about her trend for 2021 was anti-inflammation. And she was telling us about this serum that helps with inflammation. I still can't say that right, but basically the cellular inflammation that causes all sorts of issues with your skin as you get older. So this serum has a proprietary molecule, HX1, that supports your stem cells in your skin and sort of counteracts that aging process that has to do with inflammation. And so after, you know, I was like, I was skeptical as I was listening to her because of course I didn't have the studies like right in front of me to refer to. You know how I am. So later on, I looked at them and I dug into this product a little bit more and I was like, okay, Garby, I'll give it a try. You guys, I hit bottle bottom, which rarely, rarely happens for me with a serum. As you know, I'm a big fan of the Skin Medica TNS, which is an epidermal growth factor serum. That is my end-all, be-all anti-aging serum. Not cheap, over $200. This is not cheap either. It's over $200. I'm sorry. This is what works for me. I paused on the TNS. I spent a whole month just using the Hero, which is spelled H-E-R-A-U-X. Actually, kind of a similar texture. These serums sink right in. They're light. These are not moisturizers. These are active, active anti-aging serums. And damn, this one is good. Now, for someone like me with rosacea, which I feel like is an inflammatory condition, so like when my skin looks quote unquote like old, which it's not even old, who freaking cares? Like just when it's not looking like I want it to look, it's drier and maybe you'll see some texture, but the big issue for me is vascularity and redness. Like it'll be just all red around my nose and I'll just look kind of puffy and just the puffiness is what makes the texture to me a little more apparent. This serum is like, if you have an inflammatory skin condition, I say try it. Try it definitely before you do a retinoid or any sort of active anti-ager, you know, the speed cell turnover. This works in a totally different way. And it really worked for me. I don't know. I hope it works for you too. Hold on, let me find the price. I think it was $212. I am telling you, good proprietary ingredients cost money. So I understand that's a lot for you. And I will start to look around to see if there's any less expensive products that kind of do the same type of thing. I'm not sure we're going to find them. So thank you to Kirby for introducing me to this product. And I'll put a link on the blog so you guys can check it out as well. And that's it. Get excited on Tuesday. Oh, my partner in crime, my favorite person will be back. I can't wait to welcome Jess back to the show. Get your beauty sleep, everyone. See you soon.
We hope you enjoyed the show. It's your reviews and feedback that help us make the podcast even better. Head over to iTunes to rate and review us or email your thoughts to info@fatmascara.com. We also want to answer your beauty questions and hear what products you love. To share a Raise a Wand product review or to ask a beauty question, email us at info@fatmascara.
If you send it as a voice memo file, we can even share your voice on the podcast. You can also do that by leaving us a voice message. Our phone number in the United States is 646-481-8182.
Thanks so much for listening.